Many of you have taken medication, and maybe young, maybe middle age, maybe as you've gotten older, you've had to read the fine print. Because when you get older, there's certain medications that have side effects on your body. For men, some of the antihistamines and stuff that help clear your head cause problems with the prostate gland. Sometimes there's medications that you want to take to take care of the allergens, the pollens, and all that kind of stuff. And then for some people, it makes them sleepy. And for others, it super winds them up. You know, it's like taking 5 cups of coffee all at once. When we think of the gospel, we don't often think of side effects. When we think of the gospel, we remember the shepherd's message. Born unto you this day in the city of David, you know, and peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And then we come to today's gospel reading and we hear this. Jesus said, "Do not think I've come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." In a commentary by Dr. Gibbs, professor at St. Louis Seminary, he puts in the translation, "Do not think that I came only so as to bring peace upon earth. I came not only so as to bring peace, but even more, a sword." We don't use the word gospel and sword in very many sentences. We don't use the word Jesus and conflict in very many paragraphs. But the reality is, when Christ came into the world, indeed, it had impact. And it raised issues. And the temple leaders didn't like it. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees would argue about what is really righteous and what is true and about the resurrection. And Christ starts teaching and preaching and they're going, wait a minute. And it's almost like it was new to their ears, because for such a long time, the sinful nature of man combined together from everyone who's lived, has taken what God has preciously given and we changed it. Being in a household with 6 kids growing up, you know what it's like. A parent gives you instructions and then you go to the other siblings and you change them. You know? You change them to fit your expectations and your preferences. So we had in the house 4 boys, 2 girls. And so my 3 brothers, I would say, and mom said she wanted you to go out and rake the leaves. Of course, it was you. We've done that with God now. We've been doing it with God. Jesus shows us in the New Testament when he starts talking, "You have heard it said of old, but I say unto you," and that's exactly what he was addressing. How Christ himself, who is the Prince of Peace, how Christ himself, who gives us a peace beyond our human understanding, who preserves our hearts and our minds, at the same time is a Christ that brought the sword. Because what Christ is and what he is all about is contrary to the worldly ways, to the human thinking, and the passions of our heart. And so the rest of this section in chapter 10 talks about how that can play out, the side effects, if you will, of what it is to have Christ in our life, Christ in our house, in our home. And so you have that. And You know, son will be against dad. Now, that's not new, is it? And girls will be going against mom, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. And then it talks about the enemies of a person will be within your own house. It's the conflict in our home. And the conflict doesn't just stay in the home. It also resides in the neighborhood, the community, our schools, sometimes even in the church. Yes, I hate to tell you, there can be conflict among God's people, the family of God, when we act out contrary to who Jesus is and what he stands for and where he is leading us. And so, what's the sword about? When we take a look at this segment, just with this verse in Matthew chapter 10, we think about what's the side effects? Well, you have to understand that when you take medicine, right, you have a problem here. So if you have high blood pressure, the medicine's trying to lower that. If you have low blood pressure, then it does the opposite, because there are medications that does that especially. And on it goes. Into us, into our heart, comes Christ. And our heart craves love and acceptance. Our heart craves all kinds of desires and passions fill it. We have treasures in our heart. And we treasure gold, or we treasure fame, or we treasure style, or lifestyle, or ease, whatever it is. And into our life comes Jesus. And our heart often wants to be first. We had a preschool in one of the congregations I served in. And we had a program for 3-year-olds and a program for 4-year-olds. And every year it was the same. The teacher, she would have the kids. And you know, who wants to lead? And all the hands go up. And you can't have everybody try to be first in line, first in the water fountain, first out to the playground, first on the swing. You know, it just doesn't work. There's ways that you want to be first. There's ways that I want to be first. And Christ says, be a servant. You know, it's like the air out of our balloon is taken. And our life will be flat if we don't go first, if we aren't first. And on, we have these things in our heart. And what happens is this sword comes. It is the word of God that purifies us. It's like surgery. And it cuts out the selfishness, and it cuts out the ego, and it cuts out the pride and the bitterness and the envy. And there, this word. But at the same time, this sword brings healing, because it is the power of the gospel that restores us, body and soul, to be God's child, to be numbered among God's people. And in our world today, the way love is defined, the way acceptance is defined, the way we want to be appreciated, that's defined in so many ways. It's like nobody's willing to do the work. A colleague of mine once served a congregation, and in the congregation, there were CEOs and political community leaders and high-end jobs. And if they needed a committee, they could form a committee. They had committees. What they didn't have is workers. They had the most marvelous planning groups you ever saw. But all of these people were used to leading. not necessarily doing the labor. And the gospel comes to us, and Jesus says, follow me. Jesus says, love your neighbor. Jesus says, forgive your brothers 70 times 7. Jesus says, and then all of a sudden, our sinful nature, and if it's not my sinful nature, it's the sinful nature of maybe some of the people around me that said, wait a minute, Pastor. Wait a minute. That's gone too far. Into our world comes God's truth. And the fashion right now is we make our own truth. That's the fad. Into our world comes Christ Jesus with God's truth that is not to be messed with and not to be changed. But when we don't like it, even within what is called the Christian church on earth, it's getting changed. It has been changed. Into our world comes right and wrong from God. Do this and don't do that. And it's pretty clear. And we've now changed that. And it started real simple, right? There's such thing as a white lie. Did you know that's a man-made lie? There is no such thing, according to the scriptures, as a white, that is righteous and a holy, pure, good lie. They are opposites. But because we deal with issues in those kinds of ways, we fashion it to our own desire. So how or what are we to do? We learn there's conflict when we have Christ, and there's trouble when we have Christ. There's side effects. If we were to read the Christian medication, take Jesus, you know, every day, all day, right? Oh, side effects. You're not going to get along with everybody. Wait a minute. I don't know if I want that. I don't know if I want to suffer that. But actually, that's the human perspective. What the believer gets to do is they look at the gospel and the power of the gospel and says, receive Christ as Lord. And the believer by faith says, okay, and serve the Lord. But no, everybody's not going to want you to serve the Lord. But you are called to endure. You are called to be patient when people aren't. You are called to be loving when people are mean. You are called to not retaliate and seek revenge. Let God handle the sense of justice. You are called and equipped to do so many things. Why? Not only for your well-being and your spiritual care, but that you can witness what it means to have the gospel in your heart. That you can show what it means, even in your failures and your confession of sin, of what it means to live because of Jesus, to live with Jesus, to live unto Jesus. You get to do that. And so when it talks about parenting and the father and the son and the mother and the daughter, all of you who have been parents, you've been there, you've done that, right? You know? The kids test you and you persevere. Why? Because it's the love of God in you that recognizes their foolishness, that recognizes that your mission is to stay faithful to God so they can learn and see and observe what difference it makes. That they can see the power of God, the power of Christ in you. And it changes things. That's why I think many kids, when they get to be in their past 25, maybe it's 30 now, I don't know, but past 25, they go, you know, I went home and visited my parents. Man, they certainly got smart. Because when I was growing up at home, I didn't think they knew a thing. It becomes amazing how all of a sudden when we are parents, now we understand what our mom and dads were doing. And when we said we would never make our kids do that, now we're making our kids do that, you know. were making their grandkids do that. Jesus Christ did come to bring peace. It's the peace we can't find in a worldly way. It's a peace that we can't manufacture. It's a peace with God that we are reconciled through his suffering and death, and by his resurrection, we have life. And this life is in conflict with everything of the sinful nature and everything the devil wants to work. This new life in Christ is going to get tested. And in that sense, there is a sword. The wonderful news is that because of Christ, we know that in this spiritual battle, we win. And we know that throughout the battle, because of Christ, we are comforted and strengthened, and we endure. So yes, there will be difficult days in the family, in the neighborhood, in the workplace, in our nation. But we know that God wins. And we know what God has in store for us. And so all the other agendas we know, and it's sad that we know, they lead to destruction. And God has not called us to destruction. He has called us to life. Life in the name of his Son. And therefore we live in the peace of Christ, that in the midst of this chaos, it does indeed surpass all human understanding. And it does have the power to keep our heart and our mind until life everlasting. Amen.